Chapter 2. Alice nodded. She did see. The smoke must have gone up in her brain because everything seemed soft at the edges.
"There's a ledge out here," Hatcher said.
He went to the wall next to the window, grabbed his right wrist with his left hand, pushed his hanging right arm against the wall and did some kind of manoeuvre while Alice watched. When he turned back to her, his right arm appeared normal again. He flexed his fingers as if to ensure they were still functional. Throughout all of this, he never made a sound, not even a hint that the process was painful, though Alice was certain it must have been. He held his hand out so she could join him by the window. She approached him and gasped in shock when his hand closed around hers. It seemed like an electric current ran from their joined hands up into her heart, which hammered in her chest. His grey eyes sparked, and he squeezed her hand tighter for a moment. "When you are in an asylum, no one ever touches you in kindness," and Alice knew the shock was as great for him. He said nothing as he released her. He climbed through the window and onto the ledge, and Alice followed him, because that was what she was supposed to do. She swung her left leg over the sill. Her shift rode up, exposing her skin to the morning chill, and she shivered. She supposed it wasn't so terribly cold out, but after the furnace of the burning hospital, the outdoors seemed frigid. Alice ducked her head under the sash and saw the ledge Hatcher wanted her to reach. Below it, too far below for comfort, was the river, grey and putrid. Now that she saw it, she remembered what she had forgotten before. Hatcher moved on the ledge behind her, and his hands were at her waist, guiding her out until they stood side by side, their backs pasted against the brick exterior of the hospital. The ledge was barely wide enough to admit the length of Alice's feet. Hatcher's toes curled around the edge as if that grip could save him from falling. His expression was fierce and exultant.
"We're outside, Alice. We're out."
"Yes," she said, and her thrill at this prospect was much tempered by the sight of the river. Now that she was away from the smoke, her mind was clearer, and this plan seemed riskier than trying to climb down a set of burning stairs. The stench of the water reached her then, and she gagged. Hatcher grabbed her hand to keep her from stumbling forward into the empty air.
"We jump into the river," he said, "and swim across to the opposite bank. We can disappear into the old city after that. No one will look for us in there. They will think we're dead."
"Yes," she agreed again. "But we're not supposed to go into the river. It will kill us. All the factories dump their waste there. I remember Father speaking of it. He said it was an outrage."
"Neither can we stay here," Hatcher said. "If the fire does not consume us, then they will catch us in their nets and put us back in our cages. I cannot go back, Alice. I cannot spend the remainder of my life as a moth beating its wings against a jar. I would rather perish in the mouth of the Jabberwock than that."
Alice saw the truth of this and felt it in her heart as well. She did not want to go back inside the box they had made for her. But the river was so far below, churning with poison. What if their skin was seared from their bodies? What if they swallowed the river water and died writhing on the shore as the foul substance coursed in their blood? As these thoughts occurred, a burst of flame caused a nearby window to explode outward, startling a huddle of soot-coated pigeons that had taken foolish refuge on the same ledge Alice and Hatcher perched on. The birds took flight, squawking in protest, and Alice looked at Hatcher, knowing he saw the fear in her eyes.
"Now we must fly," he said. "Trust me."
She did. She always had, though she didn't know why. He squeezed her hand, and the next thing Alice knew, she was falling, falling away into a rabbit's hole.
"Don't let go,"
Hatcher shouted just before they hit the water. His grip on her fingers tightened painfully, and she cried out, but he didn't let go. Which was a very good thing, because as soon...